It's good to be here, but I'm telling you right now, it's humid. When I left, I looked at the weather before I left, and the humidity level was about 6%. And so I'm a little wet right now, sweating. And I also, I don't know why I get nervous every time before I preach, which I think is a good thing. It should be there. And very thankful to be here. I will say that all the young men that I left come by and shook my hand this morning and sized me up. And if they want to bring it, I'm ready. Just to let them know. I may be older, but I'm also wiser. So, but it's good. It's good to see growth. It's good to see families that are faithful, that are still here. It's sad to see one that's not. And Brother Headley, I love that man. Yes, sir. And Miss Dixie, others that have passed on. You know, it's been 2 years since I've been here. It's good to see faithfulness. It's good to see young kids growing up in the house of the Lord. It's good to see newlyweds just starting their life. And, you know, I'm getting a little older. My wife and my daughter and all of us have been out there, and my sons have been out there in Colorado, and it's been great. God's been amazing, and I'll tell you all about that Wednesday. But we have to get serious today. If you haven't got serious before today, you're already behind the ball about missions. You can't wait until the missions conference starts. You know, I can remember, I remember back when I went up to the MEP station, enlisted in the United States Army. And again, thank you for those that stood, the men and the women that have sacrificed and served this great nation. I love this country, folks. I love this country. You know, and I love being born in America. And Brother Schwartz this morning had a great Sunday school lesson, and it really spoke to me, because I was going to get up here, and because we still, I'm going to go on this, and now I'm going to get started. And you know I have to say this. I have 139 days to still say we are the Super Bowl champions. And I'll leave it right there. Okay? Where's Brother Souza? He's up there. I forgot to turn it on. See, I missed that. Bummer. But that's okay. I thought I pushed it. Oh, it takes 5 seconds. That's right. Green button. So I have 139 days to still say the Broncos are the reigning Super Bowl champions. All right, but I can remember going back to the MEP station. I was 18 years old. I had went to college. I'd played football for a season, and they had cut my scholarship, and I didn't want to put my mom and dad into financial debt for a responsibility to pay for my college. My parents had done enough in 18 years. Trust me, they'd done enough in 18 years. And my desire was to make my own way, to go to college and pay for it myself. That was my desire. And so after losing my scholarship and realizing that college is not cheap, even more expensive today, I said, what can I do? And my mom has told me this before, that when I was a little boy, I always told her that I was going to do two things. Now, I wish I would have raised that level one level, not really, but I said I was going to play college football and join the Army. Ever since I had been a little boy, my mom said, I always said that. And lo and behold, when I was 18, almost 19 years old, I went to the United States Army. And, you know, you think about this. The reason I went, and it changed, and this will tie in too, so just pay attention here this morning. The reason I went originally was just to pay for college. I wanted the Army to pay for my college. I wanted to be able to go to college, and I thought, well, the Army can pay for it. Amen, you know. But then I look back on my time in the military, and I see what it did for me. I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't went down that road. You know, and God, you know, I love when God does this to a person. You know, the path that I was going, and now And also looking back, but we're not supposed to look back with regret. I can look back and think, man, if I would have lived for God when I was in the Army, how many soldiers today would have been saved? Or how many men could I have led to the Lord? Or how my life would have been different? I'm exactly where God wants me to be. And we have to learn to bloom there. You have to, Brother Mullis is here today, and God wants him to become a beautiful orchid. An orange one, brother. He wants you to bloom like a beautiful flower here. Now, this is missions, right? Everybody knows, most of the folks that are here have heard, missions, it's stepping out on faith, it's stepping out on this, da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to show you something different today. It's stepping out on faith and listening to God and say, God, what will you have me to do? And today I want you to think and think about, what if God would have put you in that place? What if God would have had you, Brother Shane Davis, enlist in the military? Or, there's young men here, these young men that are sitting up here, and there's young men, good night, they've grown. There's young men over here. What if God calls you into military service? Because he could. Plain and simple. If that's where God wants you to go, it's better to be smack dab in the will of God in the military than be out of the will of God and not serving him where he wants you to be. So if God calls you to the military, what is the biggest thing, most important thing? I know there's a few men that are in the military now that my niece's, fiance, they're getting married. He's in the Navy, and the best advice, and he's a professing Christian. And I said, the best advice that I can give you is if you don't take God, you won't survive. You won't survive in the military. If you don't get God involved in missions in your life, if you don't let God talk to you and speak to you and use you to be used of God to accomplish his will, you won't survive. You think about it, there's a lot of comparison, there's a lot of a likeness between a child of God and a soldier. There is. You're like, no, there is. Hold on. So today, you think about my commitment, it was a personal commitment that I made with my country. Today starts missions. And think about this. The theme for this is I'm in. Now, when I was younger, that was my theme also, but it usually ended in trouble. You'll get that here in a minute. I'm in trouble. Wow. Okay, think about this though. Only 1% of all Americans decide to serve in the military. 1%. 1% decide to serve in the military. And I used to have a company commander that said, would we get up in the morning and we'd be there at formation at about 5 o'clock for PT. And he said, pat yourself on the back because you're the 1% that made the sacrifice to serve your country. Missions. What's missions all about? I served because I love my country. I served to defend this country. And if I could, and if I was called on today, I would go back and give my life to Defender still today. You ask me, why? Why would I do that? There's 6 reasons sitting back there, plus you folks that are here. I love this country. I actually bled for this country. This country is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Little stat for you. Do you know why America does so well in the Olympics? It's not that we have bigger, stronger, better athletes. If you look at them, they look a lot like our athletes. Why is that? Because the American athletes have the freedom to compete. They're not required like the athletes from China and them other countries that you either go get a gold or you disappear. How many times have you ever seen a Chinese athlete that's went to the Olympics and not do well come back the next Olympics? Never.
We have a freedom here that nobody else has, folks. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. If you grab your Bibles here this morning, you're asking me here this morning, and turn to John 19:23 with me, or not John 19:23, excuse me, Acts chapter number 13. I'm going to just read two verses here this morning here in just a second. You're asking, Brother Roberts, I get you love this country, but what does all this have to do with missions? Now, last time I was here, me and Brother Davis, and I thank God for the Davis family that went out with us for a time. I truly do. It was a blessing to have them there. It was a blessing to have a brother there, and just, it was huge to us having them there. That is important, and I would suggest if there's ever another man that is called out of this church, that every single man, every single family that is in this church, diligently pray and seek God's guidance in whether God is going to say, I want you to go with them. It is so important, and we'll see that here. Stand with me, if you would, Acts chapter number 13. I'm just going to read two verses here this morning. And the question is, why do we need churches in America? And look here, it says in Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 1, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Why do we need churches in America? If you really have to ask that question, folks, have you looked around? I live in Gunnison, Colorado. Gunnison, Colorado now has 16 pot shops. 16 pot shops. In the United States, Gunnison has the most pot shops per capita in the United States. That means we have more pot shops per individual person in the whole United States. In Gunnison. This year, our tourist industry in the state of Colorado is up 182%. Do you know why? It's not because we have beautiful mountains, because we have some beautiful mountains. It's because the immorality of this country, they want to come there and get high. That's why. Why do we need churches? We've had 14 suicides in Gunnison in the last 2 years. 14 suicide in a town of 5,000. The suicide rate in the state of Colorado has gone up. There was over 2,000 suicides last year alone in the state of Colorado. Why? Because there's men that are preying on young kids out there in this world. There are men that are addicted to things that they should not be addicted to. There are women that are doing immoral things that they should not do. That is why we need churches in America. And the number one reason is because they need God. Nothing, you know, you can't let Dr. Phil answer your problems. You can't let all these other talk hosts answer you the problems. The only one that is going to solve your problem or their problem is getting a personal relationship with Christ. That's it. That's where it's at in the ball of wax right there. If they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care if they take all the pills in the world or see all the psychiatrists in the nation, they will not be healed until they get this great physician to heal them. That's the only time it happens, folks. It doesn't happen any other way. And we see here that they stood up, and I want to look at verse number 2, because as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. God, you know, this is the calling of two men to go and start a church. That's what this is. Two men were called, and they said, you know what? Go! And they sent them. But I want you to know here this morning, it is a personal choice that you have to make, just like I made that choice to serve this country. God's going to say, separate me, you, and I'm going to use you this way through missions. There's no difference there, folks. Now why is that? You know why Brother Wade is not in Gunnison, Colorado? God hasn't called him there. But can Brother Wade have a part of the missions work that is in Gunnison, Colorado? Yes, he can. You know, Brother Doug, he's not in Zimbabwe. I guess that's a country. Sounds like a country. He's not there because God hasn't called him there. But if there's a missionary that's here and he's going to that country, can Brother Doug get involved in that mission work? Sure can. How? By making a personal choice to follow the will of God in his life. That's what it's about, folks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for this time, Lord. I just ask that you would hide me behind the cross this morning, Lord. I just ask you to be with Blue Mesa. They're just now probably getting ready to start Sunday school. And Lord, just be with them. Lord, be with Brother Ryburn as he's filling the pulpit there today. Lord, just fill him with your spirit. Allow him to be used of you. Lord, just help me to bring your message about here this morning that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, just guide and direct. Use me as your mouthpiece. We ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In John, turn over to John chapter number 19. The word soldier is only used in the Bible five times. The word soldier is only used in the Bible five times. John chapter number 19. And I'm going to ask Brother Davis if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 28, 10:7 and 28:16. John chapter number 19 is where it's first used. John chapter number 19, if I can get over there. John chapter number 19 and verse number 23. Here the Bible says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier, a part and also his coat. Now the coat that was without seam, woven from the top throughout." And Brother Davis, if you'll read those two verses. And then Acts 28:16, if you'd read that, sir. Here we see these three verses are just talking about Roman soldiers. They're just talking about, you know, here we see Paul, and I love this. God used, if you think about this, God used Paul's enemy, the Roman soldiers, to protect him. Now, that is amazing to me. That would be like me getting, you know, captured in battle and the enemy taking care of me and not allowing him to kill me. And that's what happened. But these three verses, they're just talking about soldiers, Roman soldiers. Now, I want you to turn, but the last two we see here, turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy and chapter number 2, and verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and verse 3 and 4. Here it says, "Thou therefore endureth hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." A soldier. You know, a lot of people today say, "I don't want that life. There ain't no way you could ever talk me into enlisting in the military. I am not a soldier." I am here to tell you today, if you are a child of Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, guess what you are? You are a soldier. Now, I shared this. I can't remember who I shared it with, but a few days ago I shared this. Now, I've seen my fair share of ugliness in the world. There's a day coming, folks, when I'm going to be a soldier and I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to lift an arm, fire a shot. I ain't got to do nothing. I just get to follow the king. The greatest commander-in-chief this world will ever see. That's all I got to do. You are a soldier here this morning if you're a child of God. If you've put your, if you're sitting here today and saved, child of God, you are a soldier. But if you're sitting here today and you're not a child of God, God wants you to enlist right now. How do you enlist? By putting your faith and trust in what God did. Christ Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He saved, he died, he bled for you and I. You put your faith in that. You put your trust in that. You say, I'm a sinner, I need you. And he'll save you, folks. It's not rocket science. Man has complicated and muddled up salvation so much that it's amazing. So what is special, so special about a soldier? What's special about a soldier? A soldier takes his calling and duty serious. A soldier gives up his life as a civilian to sacrifice for the country. You look back, and since 9/11, there's been a lot of lives lost protecting you and I. There's unaccounted, you don't see this in the media, folks. How many times that there's terrorists trying to come through Mexico or Canada, and we have special ops units that go down there and they counter-strike them to keep from a bomb blowing up in Cincinnati, Ohio, or Denver, Colorado. There's been many, many soldiers that laid their lives on the line so we can have the freedom to gather here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's so special about a soldier? A soldier of the cross has to have the same heart as Christ did. Turn over to Luke with me here this morning. Turn over to Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 42. This is what Christ wants each and every one of us to have when it comes to that of giving. Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 42. The Bible here says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I know Christ was going to the cross right here. I know he's in preparation of that. And we don't have near that kind of agony that Christ was going through there. I've never sweat drops of blood. Has anybody ever? I've never sweat drops of blood. I've never had that strain on me. But what I want to focus on is the second part of that verse. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, God, each one of you, if you, and again, I'm going to say this again. If you've waited until Sunday today to start praying about missions conference, about what God's going to have you to give, about what God's going to lay upon your heart, you're behind the ball, folks. You are. You should have. When should I start to pray? Last year after missions conference. What do you mean? Get that list. Because Adel's a blessing to a lot of missionaries, folks. You guys are a blessing. Get that list and say, Lord, bless. And pray over them. Go down the list. Brother Alexander, he's out on the road. I follow him, and the tweet came across the other day that the buses broke down or somebody. And instantly, and that's something that God has showed me that I had to change because, and we're all guilty of this if we're honest with ourselves. How many times have you seen something come across, and because we're all on social media if we're honest, and or somebody's called you and said, did you hear what happened? And you'll say, oh, I'll pray for them, and you don't ever do it. You don't ever stop, and you don't ever say, Lord, and you don't ever go to God and ask him to intercess on their part. You don't do that, but you say, I'll pray for them. That's something I started doing, and now when I see, you know, that maybe there's a member here that's had surgery. I know Brother Haas has had surgery, and Brother Bobby, and all these things, and I see, and now when I see those things, we can use it to our advantage, folks. When you see it, you stop, you lay everything down, and you go before God on their behalf. It's the same thing with missions, folks. There are countries, there are cities. In the United States, there's countries in the world that never, never, never have the opportunity to go into an independent King James Baptist Church because there's not one there. It has to become personable, folks. It has to become serious. It has to be, you know, you can say, well, this is the same time every year. We do the same thing every year. There's missionaries in. Yay, Brother Roberts is here. It has to be more than that, folks. We can't get caught up in the repetitiveness of things. It has to be more than that. It was more than that to Christ when he went to the cross of Calvary for us. He was down on knees in Garden of Gethsemane and said, Lord, please, God, let this cup pass from me. But not my will. I want yours to be done. So when you pray about what God is going to lay upon your heart this week, we should pray with fervency, with desire to be used of God. You think, well, Brother Roberts, I don't make much. I know. God makes it all. He makes everything. And if you will be faithful, guess what he's going to be? Yeah, he's going to forget about you and go down to the local ball game. No. He's going to be even more faithful, folks. And you say, I can't. Are you serious? Is that what you want me to do? I said, don't look at paper, folks. Just throw it away. Step out on faith. I'm gonna brag about Brother Davis just a little bit right here, and I think I can. That man stepped out on faith 2 years ago. His family stepped out on faith 2 years ago. How'd they do that? They sold everything they own. God said, I'll never forget. Brother Pastor Burke will remember this. We're over at his house. I think we were frying hot dogs or something. We always had hot dogs for some reason. I love hot dogs, just to let you know, though. We were over at his house. We were fellowshipping. Brother Davis pulled me to the side and said, God's calling me to go to Colorado with you. What did I do, Brother Davis? Hugged him and started. You know why? I was scared to death to go to Colorado, folks. I was. You weren't there. The comfortableness wasn't there. My pastor wasn't there. I was scared to death. But I knew God needed me there. And you know, somebody asked me, well, there's like 5 churches there already. God wants me there. It doesn't matter. You know, and God's done great things, and you'll hear about it Wednesday. But a soldier of the cross has to have the same heart that Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane when it comes to everything in his life. Get me out of the way and let your will be done. Just push me out of the way and let your will be done, God. So missions has to be more than a week's worth of meetings, more than a few missionaries in and learning interesting things about where they are going, more than just going through the motions, more than just being in your place today. Missions must become a heartbeat of the individual member of Cazadel Baptist Temple. Amen. It has to become your heartbeat, folks. Why? Look at the world around you. This country, and if you look at history at all, and I'm sure Brother Alexander will agree with me, if you look at the past great empires of this world, the second they embraced sodomy is the second they started to destroy themselves. What has America done? Embraced it with open arms. I'm telling you right now, it's open carry in Colorado. And any man can come and try to go in a lady's bathroom and my daughters or my wife are in there and they're going to be in trouble. It ain't happening, folks. No man is going to go into a bathroom when my wife is in that restroom. Period. Look around. It has to be a heart. Now, why are we in the mess we are today? Because Christians silenced themselves. They took the easy road. They took the middle road. I'm preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes right now. We're in chapter number 10. And right there is where Solomon's talking about the do-gooder and traveling down the middle of the road and not disrupting the left side or the right side. And if you do, just make the left side happy and the right side happy, and you'll just be, oh, so much better. Hogwash. We have a truth that we cannot hide. And it's right in your lap, folks. Don't be embarrassed about the Word of God. Don't be embarrassed to say, you know what? God has called me to do this. God has called me to clean the buses on Saturday before Sunday. There ain't nothing wrong with it. That's a ministry, folks. God has called me to clean the bus. You talked about that this morning, brother. I'm above cleaning restrooms. I'm above that echelon. I'm telling you right now, you ain't never above any echelon when it comes to serving God. We just have to have a heartbeat to have His will in place in our heart. When I served, I had to be all in, or else I wouldn't make it. You know, you think about it, when you go into the military and you're separated from your family. I was separated from my family for when I first went in basic training, AIT, and then I went to RIP school, Ranger school. I was separated from them for about 9 months. Why was that? Because they had to break me down and rebuild me. When I went on missions, I couldn't have, and I firmly believe that's why God didn't allow me to get married while I was in the military. When I would go on a mission, I couldn't have other things on my mind. I can't even imagine being in the military today and have the technologies that they have today. Being able to, I wouldn't do good as a soldier today because of the technologies of being able to see my wife and my children if I was married. There's no way I could, you know, see my wife on the phone or on whatever you call that stuff where it's video or whatever. And see my wife and her holding Abigail the way she is right now, and then hang that up, and I got to go out and go to battle and kill people. That's what it's about, folks. That's what I did. I couldn't imagine doing that. But we have to take missions, because Adel Baptist Temple has to take this as an op order. What's an op order? It's orders you were given before taking out an operation. So what's Kizadel's operation? To see churches planted. Churches need planted, folks. In Gunnison alone, you know, there's 5,000 people in Gunnison. There's 12,000 people in the county. And it's a hard, if you've been west of the Mississippi, you know it's hard out there. They have the mentality that I can fix anything, I don't need nothing. So when you go to them with and say, you know what, you need Jesus, they say, no, I don't, I can fix it. Just give me some baling wire or some baling twine. I'll fix it. Trust me. So it's hard. But we have to. You are a soldier, folks. You are a soldier here today. Every day of your life, you're a soldier. And every day of your life, I can remember I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd have PT about 4:35. And every morning I would get an op order for that day. They would tell me what I was going to do that day, whether I was going to the rifle range or I was going to do whatever it was I was going to do. They gave me orders. Every day as a soldier of God, you have to get your orders every single day, folks. If you don't get your orders, guess where you are? You're AWOL. If you don't get your orders and follow what God wants you to do, God may have somebody that crosses your path that day, and God give you a verse that can be an encouragement to that person. And if you don't get alone with Him, you're AWOL, folks. You'll be walking down the road and nothing will ever come across your mind. That person will go by you, and you won't think twice about it. But the day will come, and this is just...
This is the way my mind thinks, so you have to bear with me. But I believe at the last days when the lost people come and they're judged by an almighty God, we're going to be there. And to me, this is just the way my mind thinks, so you can come into my mind for a minute. Enjoy this. I think of it as a big football stadium. Where the ones that have been judged, that are child of God already, they've been judged. They already went through their judgment. And they're walking, and they're sitting there, and they're weeping and crying. Because somebody that they knew, they loved, they knew, they had the chance to share the gospel with, is walking down that path to the Almighty God that looked at them and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And as they walk, this is just my thinking, folks. As they walk down, there's a spotlight that points you out and said, "Why didn't you tell me?"
You guys have a chance through missionaries. Have you ever thought about this? You have the chance to tell thousands of people about Christ because of your faith promise giving. Thousands of them. How many people do you think Brother Hammett or the other missionaries that you, I can't think of names right now, that Cazadale supports on top of myself, how many people do you think they come across every year and they pass a tract out to or they share the gospel with, or they give their testimony or whatever it may be that they do? Do you know why missionaries do that? Do you know why Brother Alexander travels thousands of miles a year to go and teach and preach truth, that it might be fruit to you all's account? He doesn't do it for gain, folks. Just like Paul. That it might be fruit to your account. When Pastor talked to me about what he wanted, and I had already been leading this way of, I knew it was America, you know, I love America Day, and I knew, and searching and reading the scripture, there's such a likeness, folks, of being a soldier and being a Christian. We're soldiers. We are soldiers. We are to be used of God as a soldier. Now, what does a soldier do? They sacrifice. It becomes a personal sacrifice, a personal, heart-grabbing, life-changing time when a Christian gets his orders for the next year as to how God is going to use them in missions. When I served, I had to be all in or else I was AWOL. Why do we need churches today? Look around. God called me to Gunnison, and you see that, you know, and God has done great things. But I couldn't be there without this church. And that's the truth, folks. I couldn't be there if it wasn't for you y'all's faithfulness and giving. In Acts 13, we saw this morning that they sent them out two by two. We know how churches are started by a man being called and a burden on his heart for this place. Look at Romans chapter number 10 right quick, folks. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 14. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 14. I'm almost done. Bear with me here. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 14. The Bible here says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, how does that come? I'm telling you right now, I thank God every day that I got to sit under Brother Salih and Pastor Burke for the years that I did. I, I, I couldn't even imagine going to, I'm just going to leave it there. I couldn't imagine that. I wouldn't want it any other way. I learned so much from these two men. I do my sermons the same way Pastor does. I tried to talk my daughter into putting the titles of the message on the front, and she goes, huh? I said, Miss Truitt does it for Pastor. Right, Miss Truitt? You put the titles on his message books, right? Yep, Siva. She was like, huh? Go talk to Miss Truitt. She'll tell you how to do it. I learned so much. I learned how to serve from Brother Salih, and we can all say amen to that. To be a servant. Why is he like that? Because he's made a choice in his heart. He's made it personal. He made it, his life's commitment was to be a soldier of the King. That's what it's at. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 8:3 right quick, I think it is. 2 Corinthians 8:3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. America needs more churches, but in order to have more, you know, it's sad too. I know of a number of good churches out there that are looking for pastors right now, and there are none. And if there are some that are coming in, they're not what the church needs. It's a sad day in America when you can have 10, 20, 30 churches out there looking for a good, solid Baptist preacher, and they can't find one. It's sad to say that there's cities in America that don't have good King James, independent, no, just a good, godly church there. It's sad, folks. But in this verse, we see, how do they get there? They had to be willing to go. How is your missions conference going to go? You have to be willing to be used. You have to be willing. Don't go through the motions again, folks. We do that every day. How many of us go to the same job every day? Get up, do the same thing every day. Get up, make your coffee, read your Bible, get dressed, go to work, come home, take a shower, talk to the kids, the wife, go to bed, get up, make coffee. We do that. Don't make it repetitive this year. Make it personal. Make it personal. Allow God to use you this year like you had no idea He wanted to. Be willing to step out on that faith. You as a Christian have given to the power of your regular tithe. Look at this here. He says, I think I wrote down the wrong verse. Praying with much. That is the wrong verse. I think it's 9:3 maybe. Ah, 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. You think about this, and it's not the right verse, but it says this, that you gave under your own power and even beyond. That own power is your tithe, folks. Don't give to missions if you're not given to tithe. Be faithful to God first. And then you be faithful to God, you'll be amazed at what God will do. At where God will allow you to step out on faith and say, I had no idea that I... You got to get that eye out of there too, folks. I had no idea that God could use me that way. You got to be willing to make it personal and step out. How do you get involved? First tithe and pray and pray and pray and pray. And pray. and ask God, how do you want to use me this year? How do you want to use me this year? Ask him to use you this year. Maybe you've never been involved before. Maybe you've never done Faith Promise. Allow God's desire to be your desire. We must be willing to step out on faith. I want to challenge each and every one of you this week to go to God and ask him to speak to our hearts. Let us be faithful to his will. Let us step out on his faith and be used and give what he tells us to give towards Faith Promise. Trust me, it may be scary. I can remember riding in that Humvee the first time I ever went into battle. I was scared to death, folks. I don't care how big of a person you are or how tough you think you are. I was scared to death. Maybe you're here today and you're scared. Just give it to God. Maybe you're like, I know God wants me to get involved, but I don't. Just pray. Talk to him. Spend time with him. Make it more personal this year than you ever have in your life. Don't just go through the motions of the missions conference. Allow God to use you this year. And I guarantee you, you will be amazed. I guarantee you, you will be amazed at what God wants to do through you and through Kazzaddale Baptist Temple. Allow God to use you to reach the lost of this country. Let's pray.